Welcome back, guys. My name is Dimitri Sebastian.
And I'm Wes Kendall.
And we are back in session where your fitness and lifestyle questions are answered and bro science is put to the test.
Hey, guys. Welcome back. Today, we're doing an episode. We're going over a little bit of an interesting topic where we share our expertise and thoughts on owning a gun because it's more of a popular issue and thing that's been happening in America. So check us out. Let us know what you think. And also stick around at the end where we go over some listener questions.
Yeah, look at the way that I glisten. I saw me dripping, put it in gear if you gave me permission. Gave her some back shots, she walked out the clinic. Now she gonna be so for a little minute. Not that I'm so great, that's worth it. That's I gotta rip it. This I've been so dispensable. Cause you're thinking that wish
I could just walk. I love how we started this podcast.
We started this podcast to be talking about whether or not you can get a boner on the carnivore diet. What's the
answer?
Mics are hot. But
the answer is yes, right?
The answer is yes. I'm a strong proponent of if you get enough fats, you can get a boner.
Yeah. I've heard that like you can lose that ability when dieting super hard.
I did. When I was in college, when I was losing weight for the Army, I was running so much, I went and dropped down to like 160, which is not a healthy weight range for me, frankly.
Right.
I was full cardio queen, like losing a bunch of weight, this, that, and the other. And I was in like a long-term relationship. And like, it actually was a problem where I would just be like, come on, do the thing.
It's like, do what you're supposed to do.
Do it.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Low-fat diets are hard on relationships. Like, your body is like, look, dude, I'm trying to keep you alive. We're not trying to procreate.
Hormones are important, right?
Right?
Yeah.
And we are back.
Yes, welcome back, guys.
Welcome back, guys. This is, I think I hit record right at the perfect moment. That was good. We swapped this time this week. Last week I was back from Flagstaff. You did the same. You were actually cooler than me. You actually went real camping.
Well, hardly. It was like the closest to not camping that you could get.
What does that even mean?
There was running water out of, well, not running water. There's like a faucet. With, you know, water provided. There was a parking spot. There was...
Oh, my God. There's a parking spot.
Like a bathroom.
Okay. Well, so you're at a camping site at, like, one of the... was it, like, the national parks, like, where you can... Or not a national park, but I guess, like, a state park.
Yeah, it was, like, the Kaibab National Forest. So it was a national forest.
Okay. I don't think that's, like, not camping. I think it's maybe, like, higher... Because, like, we talked about this earlier today where I was, like, I have no qualms saying, like, I fucking hate camping.
Okay.
And then people would ask me, why do you hate camping? It's the Army ruined camping for me because it's like, it sucks now. It's like, I have spent weeks in a sleeping bag out in the fucking elements. Like, well, you don't have to do that. It's like, yeah, but I have, and I like being inside. Like, I like hiking. I like the outdoors. Like, I would love to go, like, hunting or something. But the concept of sleeping out in the elements, it's just like, I can do it. I have done it. I have no desire.
Right. Yeah. Like I would say it definitely takes some of the fun out of it. And especially the way the military does it is the worst way to go camping.
I'm very efficient though.
I mean, it is. It's obviously.
Give me my whoopee and I can sleep.
They take all the fun out of it. You can't have a fire.
Anything. Everything's cold.
You can't hang out.
Did I ever tell you about the time that they tried to take away my whoopee for a scouting mission? This isn't real. Like, we're not at war.
Yeah.
But it was a...
it was like a leader's recon?
Yeah, it was like a fucking recon or something. But we were gone for like 9 hours.
Okay.
And
dang, that's a long-ass recon. Dude. That's a long-ass recon.
That says more about the ineptitude of brand new lieutenants than it does. Because this was at a training thing for when I was becoming an officer. And they're like, we're bringing nothing but the minimum amount of food, our weapons... no bags, like, because we're coming right back. And I was like, nah. in my head, I'm like, nah, like, you're a fucking moron. Like, because, like, everyone else is, like, stuffing food in, like, their little cargo pockets and stuff. And I show up to to the SP, and I had, like, my assault pack on. He's like, hey, I told you no things. I was like, yeah, dude, I need it.
Yeah, it's like, have you seen Black Hawk Down?
Right? Oh, my God, exactly.
Yeah.
He's like, no, you don't need the plates.
Yeah, and you don't need water. You don't need nods.
And he kept, like, he kind of argued me for a minute. I was like, look, dude, my whoopee's in there, and I've got a couple of fucking MREs. Like, worry about yourself. Like, I'm not your problem right now. Like, you got more problems.
Right.
Fast forward, like, 7, 8, 9 hours later, I'm sitting there, like, wrapped up in my little blanket. Like, for those of you who don't know what a whoopee is, it's just it's a specialized blanket that the Army gives you, and it's awesome. Like, it's, like, if it's cold, It'll warm you up. If it's hot, it'll like keep the heat off you.
Keep the sun off you. So
it's a really great. It's the most necessary piece of equipment.
One of the most practical items the Army ever issues.
Exactly. So I'm comfortable sleeping a little bit, having a great day. Everyone else is like, dude, this guy like wasn't the most unpopular guy. Like he didn't know. He had to learn. But I'm sitting there and I'm like, okay, yeah, like, oh, don't bring a freaking backpack. Like we didn't even have any contact with the freaking right. OP4 or anything. I was like, this is stupid.
Right.
Jesus.
Way unnecessarily long recon.
And that's why I hate camping. Long, and we come all the way back around. Camping sucks.
Yes.
So you guys had a pretty good time. How long were you guys out there, actually?
We spent 2 nights out there, 3 days. Nicole's uncle is like the manager of the campsite out there. So he hooked us up with a sweet spot, and we just kind of hung out with them, did some hiking.
Whose dog is that?
So that was like the house dog, the house I previously lived in. And it's Luna, which Luna is such a sweet pup. She loves me so much, so we have to take her on vacation every year.
Okay, that's awesome. I accept this.
Yes, so I'm like the godfather of
Luna. I saw, like, I've heard you mention the name Luna several times. I was like, I saw a picture of the dog. I was like, is this the dog?
This is the dog.
This is the dog.
So it was fun. Luna had a great time.
It's all that matters. As long as Luna had a nice time, then I'm going to go ahead vacation. And say, yeah. Well, let me tell you what.
Yes.
My weekend was far less constructive and far more stupid. And I told you that I had updates about the internet that people aren't going to care about. And I'm going to say right now, I'm going to say roughly.
Disclaimer, everyone.
2 to 5 minutes, just fast forward. You might cut into the wins and loss a little bit, but this is That's just going right. to be intermittent drama that I've been seeing. And I'm going to try and go through it fast, but I couldn't not talk. You know who Jenna Marbles is?
Yes.
She's not doing YouTube anymore now.
Okay.
Because I guess she did blackface. And she's decided
like a while ago or something, or
like 2011.
Yeah, that's like almost 20 years, or that's almost 10 years ago. Yeah.
And I'm sitting here, and it's an interesting conversation that I don't really feel the need to have, but it's just an interesting thought experiment about like, can you retroactively like cancel people? And my thought is, if someone was racist back in the day, like that doesn't undo that. Mm-hmm. But also, if they did it for like a comedy bit that was at the time considered like okay. Mm-hmm. Like, you remember The Man Show on Comedy Central? They had, like, blackface on there. Mm-hmm. Like, that got past the, like, it was, like, I'm kind of, like, stealing the thought. Like, I can't remember what a podcast was. Someone's going to say, like, Demetrius, this is an original thought. Like, I have no original thoughts. Nothing I've ever thought is original. But, like, they were fine with it. Like, it got past, like, their board of, like, this is cool to put on TV.
Right.
And people are mad at Jenna Marbles. So she's like, it's been hidden for, like, years. Mm-hmm. Like, she knows it's bad. It's like, if you know Jenna Marbles, she's like a very, like, pretty wholesome person, doesn't like make fun of people, yada, yada, yada. But now she's done with YouTube potentially forever. Mm-hmm. I'm like, what the fuck? That's wild. Then I've been on like doing Twitch stuff recently, very recently, but I'm still like, I kind of delved into the culture a little bit. Like, everyone's getting like accused of, like, sexual assault stuff. Some of them more valid than others. Like
some of the Twitch like stars or whatever.
Yeah. Like the really big guys.
Yeah.
Like a lot. Are like getting canceled and like sexual. And like, the thing is, like, if it's true and like it's valid, like it should be brought up and it's always important to do that.
Right.
But like a certain percentage of them have like fired back and like brought up, like, hey, look, this is not like real.
Right.
And this is stupid. And, but then a bunch of them are real. So it's like, oh, like it's like a freaking shit show. And then there's this guy named Dr. Disrespect, who I don't know who he is, but apparently he's big, but he just got banned from Twitch. Mm-hmm. Like, the internet's on fire right now.
They're out for blood.
Dude, everyone's out for blood.
That's wild.
Well, it's, I don't know, man. It's all kind of nuts. It's just all over the place. And I'm sitting here and I'm like, what is going on? The internet's on fire. I think Justin Bieber got accused recently, but then he had like all the receipts of like, he was like, nope, I was with Selena Gomez at this place and yada, yada, yada. And I'm just like, dude, internet. Like, we never want to go back to work.
Yes. People are like getting bored and creating their own.
Oh, what was the other one? Chris D'Elia. I think that one's was substantiated at least to a certain degree, because it was like, whether or not you can make an accusation of if he did anything illegal, super creep. Like, he's a creepy dude.
Yeah.
And, like, did you know that he played a pedophile in Workaholics? And then he was also a pedophile in the show Her? And no. Yeah. He played...
Who's this guy?
He's one of the comedians that's friends with Joe Rogan.
Really?
Dude. And the thing is, like, I'm of the opinion that if you did something wrong...
Yeah.
And that's like,
oh, he's the one you showed me like the picture of. I know who you're talking about.
And I'm of the opinion, like, you do something wrong, fuck you. Like, it's like, you know, it's going to come around.
Yeah.
The comedy thing, I think, is a weird, like, oh, like, what is and isn't okay? And like, should you be allowed to make a joke? Or is like, because if you make certain things not allowed to be joked about, then is anything allowed to be joked about? I don't know. Like, that's a weird, like, thought experiment.
Yeah.
And
Dude,
the internet's on fire.
It is, man. It is. It's really hard because we don't know what is going to be the next witch hunt, you know?
Well, I mean, I think that we do a really good job of having, like, a thought out and balanced way of looking at things. Like, yeah. I think we take a lot of moments to, like, pause and, like, look at both sides.
Yeah.
And it makes you, like, kind of like, oh, man, like, do I need to, like, look at what I said when I was, like, 13 on Facebook? Like, because I don't know. I was a fucking moron. Like, maybe I said something stupid. I don't know.
I heard someone say that, like, future generations will look back on us and think of us as bad as the Nazis for, like, all the animals that we, you know, factory farm.
I heard that too.
Yeah.
And maybe that's probably really far out, but that is actually, again, dude, I'm like, the internet, this is why I love the internet.
Yeah.
Is because I think it forces you to, like, think about stuff, like, more critically than you're forced to. Because, like, you can get mad about the woke culture people all day.
Yeah.
Like, it's sometimes I think it's really disingenuous. Sometimes I think they're just doing it to, like, get internet clout or get, like, knock people down.
Right.
But then sometimes someone comes out with that where they're like, hey, what if there's a time where, like, we are so above it, above the animalism that we are? Or mm-hmm. I don't even, that's unfair. Someone's going to, like, animalism isn't a word to me. Shut up.
Yeah.
On
our podcast.
Being, like, how animalistic we are, they're going to look back and be like, could you imagine eating an animal?
Yeah, and killing, like, an animal just to eat it, you know, that's, like, what people think.
That my mind can totally get there. Like, right. That's like,
that's,
yeah,
not
that,
a far jump from that the direction.
That is,
we're
like,
heading,
kind of, I a think. Heinous, like, concept. Like,
yeah.
We had to murder to eat?
Yeah.
Like, yo, shit. I don't know. You put it like that. Kind of, yeah. Sound like a fucking asshole.
It's funny.
Dude, that's why I like it. It's like, I don't like the freaking cancel culture thing. I don't think that everyone needs to be. You got to. Here's my final statement on this, because yeah. I think it's there's a lot of rabbit holes you can go down with this.
Yeah.
I think we need to. If you sexually assault people, sexually harass people, are like a piece of shit in general, fuck you. Like, right. That's my official stance. Fuck you. Like, I don't think you deserve nice things.
Yeah.
It's really easy to not do that.
Right.
The concept of making jokes that in the future might be problematic, I think that we do need to, like, ask ourselves, like, did that person grow from it?
Mm-hmm.
Or are they still an asshole? Because it's like, Jenna Marbles is a good example of someone who I'm like, no, I feel like she's really grown from that as a person. Yeah. Like, she doesn't believe that. She's actually upset with herself about it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the video
she
posted.
She's not proud of it. Yeah.
She seemed very, like, upset, like, that right. She even ever did that. And I don't know about Shane Dawson. I didn't see his. Like, I don't know if he's upset with himself or whatever. But, like, it's also, like, if you can't sit there. If there's a kind of person who's like, it was funny, who cares? Like, dude, you're being a dick.
Right. It can be seen as insensitive.
Yeah. But if you want to say, like, yeah, it was a bad taste joke, but at the time it was funny
yeah.
to me, and I don't do that joke anymore, and I'm willing to stand here and
I
say that
I think it's funny, whatever.
In the current climate yeah. and in the situation, like, it was insensitive. So I'm like, boom, like, that person has learned something, and maybe we should, like, cut them, like, a little bit of slack.
Well, if anything, that person should be, like, celebrated for, you know,
growing,
furthering themselves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because if, like, dude, could you imagine that if we were all held to the accountability of us when we were younger?
Yeah, all of us would be idiots, you know, if that was the case.
We, like, all we did dumb have shit. Done some very stupid. And now I feel bad for kids nowadays because, like,
it's recorded.
The worst things I've done were, like, some dumb shit I might have posted on Facebook. Like, I can't even fucking access my Facebook anymore. I don't know.
Like, what was the stupidest thing you ever posted on MySpace?
It was probably just cringy stuff. I wasn't, like, really. I never really thought it was fun. I was too self-conscious to try and be funny. Really? I think I said some dumb stuff about, like, if I died. Mm-hmm. Oh, no, I do think I know it was the cringiest, stupid thing I said. I said, when I die, I want to be cremated, and I want someone to throw my ashes into the face of, it was at our principal or something, and she was, like, universally hated at our middle school.
In the,
like,
face of,
oh, my God, all of these middle school kids hate an adult. Oh, at the time, it was a very hot take and very popular. Everyone agreed with me. And I was like, I said, throw me in her face and say, gotcha, bitch. And then I was like, that was my, like, I was like, this is my. Only ask if I die.
Yeah.
And I, like, thinking back on it, like, I'm not even gonna lie, I still find that, like, slightly funny, like, at a low, like, at a very elementary level.
Yeah.
But that was like, dude, come on. Like, she's just a lady trying to do her job. She cares about kids. You don't become, like, a principal if you hate kids.
Right.
But as a middle schooler, you think she became a principal because she hates kids. That's, I think, off the top of my head, I think that might be the worst thing I said. Oh, yeah. I don't know. But I'm sure if, like, If someone were to take the energy, they could find something worse. Please don't. But
I think the worst thing that I have a picture of is me, like, throwing up behind a dumpster in Italy.
I don't even think that's bad, though. Yeah. I mean, if it's on the internet. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, so kids nowadays.
Like, someone took a picture of me and, like, tagged me on Facebook. Okay. You know? Like,
I feel like kids nowadays, it's like, yeah. You can't get away with it. Everything goes up.
Yeah.
Everything goes up. These kids are posting on TikTok doing, like, some really ignorant shit. I'm like, dude, come on, man. Like, that's forever.
I was about to argue the opposite. That it was like, I feel like generations younger than us are more safe than, like, the older people.
I would say both. Well, okay.
Like the older people on.
No, you're right. I think that older people are like, they used to be like, oh, everyone on the internet's a liar. You shouldn't trust anyone on the internet, yada, yada, yada. Now it's like they see one article written from like a website that is like never been heard of. And they're like, hey, 5G caused coronavirus. Obama. Yeah.
Yes.
Like they're like, I trust that source. That's great. Yep,
that's great.
And it's like, grandma. No, yeah. Grandma, all those three topics, how did you string them together? Obama's not the president anymore. COVID happened after that.
5G, that's a network.
that's like Verizon. Like, what is
my router is 5G.
Like, where did Obama come into this? And what? that's... Dude, the internet's a wild place. It's like it's like one of like the last frontiers. And I was like, space... And the internet, because just shit just goes wild.
It is a frontier for sure.
Every day. It's like, I'm just on there scrolling. I'm like, man, I just love to watch dumpster fires. I'm like, give me a train wreck, please.
Wow.
And that was how my weekend. So you were outside getting fresh air.
Yeah. Well, it's because you already did your digital detox, so you had to soak it all back in.
That's true. That's true. And for those of you that were gone for this, I don't know actually how long we ended up taking. So hopefully the 5-10 minutes was safe enough, but I just need to get that out of my system.
Yep.
What feel better? I feel so much better. I got like the poison out.
Good.
All
right.
Let's go to wins and losses. I feel like my L is just like even going through that initial segment that we just went through.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, God. Okay. What you want to go first?
Yes. Okay. So I'm going to go with my loss. It was either being sunburned or it's continuously fucking up my knee when I do legs.
I just feel like this is such an obvious L. Yeah. You talked about this and you're like, I don't know what my L is, this or this. Like, oh, I've got a light sunburn that's going to peel in about 3 days.
I just look like a douche.
Or I have like...
Look like a...
A potentially like...
NASCAR fan.
Do I look like a NASCAR... What's worse, looking like a NASCAR fan or potentially having irreparable damage to my body?
Or a chronic inflammatory injury that I'm causing to my knee.
Okay, and... Again, and I've asked you this in the past, I'm going to run it again.
Yeah.
Is this an ego issue? Or is this like a functional? Like, could you pit shark or do alternative leg workouts?
I could,
but also
they're not fun. You know, it's like if it takes the fun out of legs, then why?
Dude, I don't find any fun in legs personally. So
that's the only fun I find in it is doing squats. So it's like,
well, my official stance is on. It sounds like you're not going into powerlifting anytime soon.
That's true.
So I don't feel that bad for you. As long as you can do other things. I feel like there's a point where you're like, hey, I can't even lunge. I can't even...
No, I'm not like the guy that's like, that I can't even do, you know, anything on legs.
But. I would feel horrible for you because that's like a really like horrendous way to like have to go through life. It's like,
especially
I can't...
all the shit I talked about people like that.
I know, right? Look, we're going to get you a knee brace permanently. Nerd.
Nerd.
I will make fun of you. I don't know, man. That seems like a pretty good L to me.
Yeah.
What was your win, though?
My win, let's see, my win would be, well, I got my new shoes in, which I was very excited about.
They're very hype.
And I'm doing a little customization on these black NMDs that I'm hoping will look good. So
I posted think it on Instagram. I was there. We talked about it. He ran by
his options. Game plan, you know, my customization.
They're already pre-hype.
Yes.
However, they could be hyper.
They could be. And we looked at some cool laces that I think might, yeah.
You're such a fucking nerd. It's so funny. You're just like, I don't know, man. Everyone's got their freaking hype. And I walk in here wearing Birkenstocks and tall black socks. And I'm like, yeah, hype beast shoes. I'm like sitting here all with my freaking, I don't know what's an old man name. My Greg Sevens.
Yeah.
My Herbert Elevens.
Well, I mean, you know the people I work with and my job.
I am held to a lower cool standard than you.
It's like, it is technically, I'm spending it on my work uniform. So it's not like...
You're like, just, oh, yeah, so I'm going to write that off.
Is it write off?
Is it tax season yet?
Yeah.
I got some receipts for you, TurboTax.
Yeah.
No, that's... I mean, honestly, if you're... I feel like your career field as it stands, like, you got to hold up like a certain amount of, like, you know, got to look cool.
Yes.
I don't need to look cool at my job. I mean, it would probably do the podcast some fucking benefit if I could be cool for like 13 seconds. As we can tell, I haven't been able to maintain that full 13 seconds, but what can you do?
Hey, that's all right, bro. What was your wins and losses for this week?
My wins.
What was your win?
My win is that I am going back. I'm coming back.
Yes.
The Silverback Nation.
Yes.
Is in fact, we're strength is coming back.
80s for the ladies, right?
80s for the ladies. Ed Incline for 8.
That's good.
Which was not like, you know, a PR or anything, but I'm like, oh, hey.
Hey, you're touching the extended rack now.
Exactly. Right? I'm sitting here, I'm like, I did it. And I was like, huh. Because the thing is, like, I texted you about this. I was like,
yep.
I'm like, man, I feel like I could do more, but I refuse to ask somebody for an assist.
Yes.
Like, I can't, like, I'm like, my social anxiety will not allow me to ask for a liftoff or a spot. So I'm just doing what I can. So I'm like, I know I can do more. We're back over 200 on bench.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't remember the numbers I told you, but it was like 205 for a few.
Yep.
And it was like, okay, like, you know. And that was after being like freaking smoked on incline. So I'm like, hey, like we're like back. We're like, we're on the back on the trajectory. I feel good every workout. I'm like, my soreness doesn't like hurt. It just feels good. You know, where the back is actually lagging behind a little bit, which is surprising. Because usually my back's my strong part. Legs are getting back in there. Mm-hmm. I'm starting to do like freaking what are they called? Wow, I'm losing my words. The treadmill sprints. I'm like, wow, I'm working out again. What's going on here? That's I'm good, back man. In the gym. I'm actually like, wow, like I'm on a fitness podcast. I can actually work out.
Well, see, bro, we get a couple of good weeks in a row.
Exactly. I had to forgive myself. I had to forgive myself my trespasses.
Mm-hmm.
Coronavirus happened.
Mm-hmm.
I was sitting there doing dips on my coffee table. And I did them like twice. I didn't, like, Wes made
All right, settle down, guys. He is twice.
Wes made this awesome body weight circuit.
Did none of, by the way.
He sends it to me. I did it once. I was like, man, that was really hard, and proceeded to never do again.
Mm-hmm. Actually, you texted me after. You're like, dang, that was tough.
Yeah, I did. I was like, I don't typically do that. And I was like, I did it. I did the whole first week, and then proceeded to never do it again.
Yeah.
And which, like, it's like... Come on. Like, that was really great content to me. If I didn't use it, it's like, well, because I'm an asshole. And
I don't blame you, bro. I wouldn't do at home workouts either.
But we're back, and I'm like, man, we're revving up. I'm really excited about it. I'm going to more of like a strength side again, which I feel like I kind of hit a lull doing aesthetics, and now I'm like back in like my strength grind. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, you know, I'm feeling lean, I'm feeling healthy. I'm not doing the carnivore bullshit right now, which is really awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Got my fucking sweet potatoes.
Yes.
And life is good. That's it wins all around.
That's a good win.
Now, as far as L's go.
Yes.
This L is laughable. It's not a very good L,
okay,
but it's an L for me. So I quit dipping a while ago because I was like, smoking is bad. Dipping's bad. Nicotine shouldn't be in my life. I need to be a healthy boy.
Right.
And then I started playing Final Fantasy 14, which, if you've played World of Warcraft or know what an MMORPG is, World of Warcraft. It's basically that, but different. I am now addicted to this, and I've checked my playtime, and I've been playing for probably like 3 weeks. I have like 48 hours of game time already.
Nice.
I'm like a little 53 paladin. Get with it. If you guys are looking for a freaking tank to carry, I got you.
Got you.
But we're still grinding to level 80, and I'm not pleased with myself, and I'm doing it. And I was like, man, this is like my new addiction. I was like, I don't dip anymore, but now I'm addicted to this game.
Yeah.
Like, but the reason that's not a huge L is because I'm still like working and going to the gym and everything. But that is my lame L, is that I'm now addicted to a video game.
Well, I mean, one can argue you have to be addicted to something. Right.
I mean, yeah, you got to pick a thing.
Yeah, so it's like video games better than cocaine.
I would make a strong argument to agree with you. I think that you've made that's a strong argument to be made. Would you cocaine
probably crack, cheaper?
If Whitney Houston was addicted to World of Warcraft, he'd probably still be with us. There's an argument to be made there right now. Okay. Well, those are we're through our first part of the freaking podcast. They were like actually like a serious topic day, and we were at 25 minutes of just like bullshit. What the hell is Dimitri talking about? It's like, so if he starts talking about woke culture,
Do you feel updated?
Because you shouldn't feel updated. You brought a very interesting topic. You actually called me while you were on the road back, which I was like, oh, this must be important.
I was inspired.
It struck me. And it was people reacting to the, now I would say we thought we're passing troubling times, but are now doubling down because Arizona and all the states that reopened are now having some issues with the with the pandemic. And it was kind of like people reacting a little bit knee-jerky to what's going on. They're calling you and saying, hey, what if I get a gun?
Yeah. Like, I had someone who's, like, never been interested in guns before and, you know, like, been probably anti-gun, you know?
Yeah.
Not to my face or anything, but I'm sure that's...
Yeah, they're not uppity about it, but it's a thing.
And then they're like, you know, I'm interested in buying a firearm. What do you think I should get? You know, because, well, we'll get to this, but me and Dimitri have some experience in our military jobs with being range safety personnel.
Yeah. And this is like and the reason we want to talk about this is if we in some small way can provide like any amount of guidance to like tilt you in a responsible direction, I will feel slightly better. Cause he mentioned that and I was like, I don't think random people should just buy guns just because. Like
I agree.
I think you have a right as an American. Mm-hmm. There's a lot. Actually, we talked about this before. We are not going to start talking about the politics behind gun ownership. We're going to talk about the rules as they stand right now, in particular in the Southwest, primarily Arizona. And in Arizona, we're a very pro-gun state.
Right.
And it's not
just based on Arizona.
Particularly difficult to get a firearm.
Right.
So with that said, there's a little bit that there's some responsibility that comes with that. And if you haven't grown up with weapons or been trained around them, it can be like a particularly precarious experience.
It's a very serious situation. Yes.
And as far as our backgrounds go, my father is law enforcement and also was a conceal and carry
instructor.
Back when you needed the license still, you don't need those anymore in Arizona. So he was a conceal and carry instructor, and he taught me how to use guns in the most boring and terrible way possible as a kid, where you had to like go and recite the rules of weapon safety and be really safe and blah, 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 blah.
And which we'll tell you in a minute.
Yeah, exactly. We'll talk about that in a minute. And then, you know, joining the military, you get a fair amount of instruction. And also I have been a range officer, OIC, officer in charge, multiple times.
That means like you're legally responsible for the range.
And in particular, being that I'm the job that I work and the people that I'm in charge of, typically I run pistol ranges, which are in theory higher risk than rifle in some ways.
It definitely has risk.
Just because the POW is a little closer to the hand. I wouldn't say more dangerous. I would just say different danger.
Yes.
So that's really where my area lies. And it's an extent. I'm not like, you know, I've been trained with it. I've been around it for a long time. I wouldn't say that I am an expert.
Well, but you are an expert. You're a range officer, you know?
Yeah. I mean, we'll say
if anyone's an expert, I mean, we're not like, you know, Jason Bourne or anything.
I guess like I would say that you know enough to know you know nothing.
Yeah.
It's like how that confidence level goes. Like I know so much about firearms that I know that there's always more to be known about.
So much data and info and things out there.
Exactly. Yeah. And then, so what is your background for the most part?
I mean, similar to you, like I grew up in a military family where, you know, my dad was trained on weapons because he was in the Air Force. His dad was trained on weapons. You know, they taught me how to shoot in like the weapon safety rules and how to handle a weapon and all that stuff as of the age of 7. And we'll get into that and stuff like that. But also in the military, I was a sniper when I was on active duty. And then now I'm in charge of the machine gun range safety every time we go out to the range for our reserve unit, which is like twice a year.
Do you know how many fucking dweebs who did 4 years as a truck driver in the military wish they could say, I was a sniper in Afghanistan.
I mean, a lot.
Like, they never, like, say those words, but, like, if someone says it for them, they won't correct it.
Yeah.
And it's funny that we've had this podcast for, what, we're coming up on, like, 40 episodes. I think that's the first time you've, like, actually said that. Funny how that works, guys. If someone, like, is really open about talking how they're, like, a fucking sharpshooter from the military, like, mm-hmm. you might want to be like, were you?
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, you're right. Like, some people will go over the top, and you can usually ask them a few questions and figure out if they're bullshitting or not.
We'll talk about that then. Actually, I just love jumping in. I fucking... Gun people are a unique breed, and not all of them are very smart.
Right. That's true. Yeah. And like some of the, we'll get into this too, but some of the most enthusiastic gun owners are some of the most like
irresponsible.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so usually, well, every year, Dimitri and I are both in charge of the operations and safety of, for him, the pistol range, for me, the machine gun range.
Unless I can avoid units. It.
I mean, we've done it so many times at this point where it's just like assigned duty.
It's like they like have someone new do it and I still end up having to be involved. They're like, hey, we're not having you do this. However, this new guy's doing it. And since you know how to do it, you're going to make sure he does it right. And I'm like, damn it.
Still there. Hey, I prefer that to the other bullshit that everyone else has to do.
Exactly. There's worse things than we're like getting to,
ammo detail.
People from the in the military will know, like, when you get to go on Advon, you get to sleep inside the range center and like be away from everything.
That's how we did that.
I love that. Wait, were you there that time?
Remember, it was you, me, and Angulo.
Yeah,
and like those guys.
It was was that like 2 years ago?
It was a few years.
That was before we were even like really talking though. That's like probably why I was like, I'm like, wait, because we were there. Yeah. That's great. It's so great. It's so great to be responsible for the ranges and you're on Advan, because it's like everyone has to sleep and be around like the brass and everything.
The weapons.
And then you're like hidden inside of like a shed with all the weapons. It's like haha, this is our cave. Like, no girls are allowed.
Yeah. So basically it's kind of our job in the military to train and make sure people don't injure other people with their weapons.
That, you know what? I think you just summed up exactly what our job is. Yeah. Making sure no one gets hurt and ensuring the highest possible number of people are able to get certified.
Right.
If you want to sum up being a range, OIC, NCOIC, or safety, no one gets hurt. Hopefully everyone gets certified in their weapon.
Yes.
With that said, how the military runs a range?
Yeah.
Well, I want to like just give a quick statement. Mm-hmm. It's fucking boring.
It's not cool.
They take the coolest sounding thing about the military and they make it suck.
Yeah.
They say like, all right, cool. We're going to go learn how to shoot, or we're going to qualify you on your rifle. And we'll talk through like how it actually runs a second. But really, if you're, I'm sure you remember when you were a private or when you're running through, it's like you're just sitting based out in the sun for 4 or 5 hours.
Just standing there in line waiting.
And then you go get in line, and then you get your magazines, you lay down the range, and if you're lucky, it's a pop-up range. That's actually kind of fun. That's when, little silhouettes pop up out in the distance. You shoot them. If you're unlucky,
it's like whack-a-mole with
it's
M4.
Paper. Yeah. Whack-a-mole is a really good way to put it. If you're really unlucky, it's a piece of paper of different sizes. That's terrible and boring, and I hate it.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much for most qualification ranges. It's kind of like that.
Yeah.
But on the actual side of things, it involves a lot, and I think this is going to kind of explain why our stance on weapon safety is what it is. It's a very deliberate step-by-step process where I say, okay, Wes, you're about to go qualify your weapon.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I gave you your weapon last night. It has no ammunition with it, no magazine with it. It's basically an inert piece of metal and you really can't do anything with it. And if you lose it or drop it, then your life sucks.
Yes.
Next day, we show up for the range.
Mm-hmm.
You arrive. I make you sit. We go through an entire brief that you've heard every time you've been to a range twice a year for your entire career.
And remedial training on your weapon.
Yep.
That you already know how to use.
There's always somebody who doesn't, so you do it anyways.
Yes.
Then I have you walk in line and go to a small shack that's surprisingly far out of the way.
Yeah.
That is sitting there with a really surly guy who's probably a lower rank than you, but he has a little bit of control. He's being an asshole.
Yeah.
And he is going to give you ammunition.
Yes.
And you're going to be informed to not put that ammunition anywhere near your weapon.
Yeah.
Okay. Now you're in another line. And you're going to go finally to the firing line. And there's a tower. And you sit there and they're going to read off the steps that you're going to take as going through this.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Get in your firing position. you're going to start laying down supported, which is just like a sandbag. Then you're going to do laying down unsupported, which is shooting with just like your arms, which is to me is the same exact thing.
Designated positions that they want you to shoot from.
Then you're going
to
go from kneeling, and then you're going to do this, and you're going to do this. And then you, at the end, all right, you're done. And you walk off. You don't get to know your score usually.
Later.
Sometimes you do because it's if you're lucky, they tell you your score right away.
Yeah.
Okay. Actually, I even skipped the whole part. The part where you're zeroing. Oh my God, I forgot zeroing. The worst they part. Make, I hate zeroing.
I mean, regardless, it's super, super regimented where they guide you and instruct you every single step. Hey, put your magazine in the weapon, then release your charging handle. They tell you to do it like that.
Every single thing. Yeah. It is not a... you're just going through the nines. And then the thing is, especially if you had a bad time zeroing your weapon, which I'm not even going to get into, it just basically makes so you can shoot accurately for your body. Some people struggle with that, myself included. You've now been doing that for a little while. Now you finally get to shoot. And you're just like, dude, I just want to be out of the sun.
Yeah, just to shoot 40 bullets of qualification, it takes like at least 4 hours.
Yeah, and
it's... for just one iteration.
And then here, let me then bring back why this is uncool. This is how little they trust us. They do a shakedown.
They pat you down.
You literally stand in a formation in a box. You do like arms width apart. You drop your hat on the ground. You empty your pockets, turn them inside out, put everything inside your hat. They go through your hat. They do a quick swipe on all your entire body to make sure that you don't have...
Take your belt.
Yep.
Yeah.
They do. You don't have a freaking round on you.
Yeah.
And that is how, that's how the military teaches you to respect a weapon.
Yeah.
So that is a really boring, long, arduous way to say.
But it saves lives.
It does. Because it's like, if someone's going to do something crazy.
Yeah.
If someone's going to accidentally hurt themselves, it's just, it's silly, but it's serious. Because these things are, and I think that a lot of people forget this, they're not toys.
Right.
They're tools. They're
called weapons for a reason.
Yeah. They're tools. Like if someone gave you a screwdriver and said, play with that, you'd be like, what the fuck are you talking about? That's how I view weapons, at least. I think that they're neat in their own way, but like I personally don't have a strong emotional attachment to weapons like a lot of people do. It's like the same way as someone's like, hey, I got a new chainsaw. It's like, all right.
It's like, cool.
That's cool.
Yeah. Like, great.
But that's just me. I don't even want to freaking drum too much on that. Is there anything we forgot on that?
The only thing I want to reiterate on is basically when we approach a range, it's always in multiple, at least three steps of training before we even touch live round.
Yeah.
So it's like before the month before we even go to the range, we all pull out the weapons and practice, you know, how to function with them, how to clear them, how to load and fire them without any bullets. This is just like a dry run. Then we get to the range, we get the weapons again, we go over again how to shoot the weapon, how to clear the weapon, how to qualify with the weapon. Then for the third time, we finally get to zero, which isn't even our qualification.
Yep.
So then we get basically three times of practice with our weapons before we even qualify.
Which some people will be like kind of like huffing and puffing at this right now, but also because at the end of the day, it's also to familiarize yourself with your weapon. So if you're in a combat scenario and stress is running high, like, I know how to clear a weapon. It's funny, because if you ask me to, like, walk you through step-by-step, if my weapon jammed, what to do, I'd be like, oh, well, you do the thing. But if you, like, if my weapon jammed...
They handed it to you.
I said, this weapon jammed, I would know how to clear it.
Yeah, you just do it without thinking about it.
It's just, like, my hands know what to do.
Right, right.
And that's what that's the idea. And that's... and then...
It's like the wax on, wax off, basically. That's what we did.
Then you get to clean it.
Then after the range,
the worst part.
You spend 4 hours waiting to get released to go home after not sleeping and, you know, sweating in your own same underwear for 3 days. Then you have to clean your weapon for 4 hours and then get it rejected by the arms room a couple times.
I got
times.
In so much trouble because we had a training event.
Yeah.
And I'm not even going to get into blanks, but they make your gun dirtier. If someone ever says, like, you want to fire these blanks? You have to clean it afterwards. Say no.
Yeah,
it's not that cool.
It's a trap.
I went through an entire scenario without firing my weapon once.
That's awesome.
Because I was like, I'm going to turn this back in as clean as they gave it to me. That's and crazy. They're like, this is dirty. I'm like, I'm sure. You gave it to me dirty. I didn't fire a weapon. And they're like, ha ha ha, I bet you thought you were smart. And they handed it back to me. I was like, so
still got to clean it.
That was a hard learned lesson. Our list is a little bit screwy here, so I'm going to move some stuff around. But I want to start out with saying the question that I think everyone should ask themselves when they're asking you, like, hey, I'm thinking about buying a gun. Why?
Why do you want to buy a gun?
Why?
That's like, an important question.
Do you want to buy a gun? And it's not like a sarcastic question of saying, why would you even want to do that? is saying, no, genuinely, like, what is your purpose? Oh, I want to own a gun because I think it's cool. It's like, all right, nerd, but okay, like, that's fine. Oh, I want to buy a gun so that I can protect myself. It's like, okay, a little bit paranoid, but I see your point. That's, again, this is your right as American. I don't care. I own guns. Okay, when you say you want to protect yourself, like, are you saying, like, you want to do a home defense weapon? Or do you, like, are you going to be the guy who says you want to, like, carry it? Okay, there's a lot more that comes with that. It's like you're asking a very serious question of, like, okay, I want to use it for hunting, self-defense, just sport, this. These are, like, questions that are going to guide you to why.
To, like, making a responsible choice.
Exactly. Because the question of, I want it for... just to shoot at the range, that's an easy to answer question.
Right. That's like, you can get a very practical gun for that reason.
Yeah. It's just for funsies. It's, I'm going to be safe with it. I'm going to follow the laws. I'm going to educate myself.
You don't need a Barrett 50 cal for that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But even if
there will be those people though.
I want to do it for hunting. You know, I don't know much about hunting, frankly, but there's like, once you do your research and everything, it's a pretty easy answer. Oh, I wanted to defend myself. Okay, that is a much more convoluted question. That's really what we're going to... This is like the space we're going to live in. We'll talk a little bit about like choosing a weapon based on that later. And I want to talk a little bit about this concept of carrying a weapon.
Right, because in Arizona, this is a unique state where you don't need a special license to conceal
carry a weapon. Which is a relatively recent update.
Yes.
That's and within the last 5 years.
Also, like, not only can you conceal a weapon without a license, you can also open carry just as long as you're not a felon.
Exactly. So
anyone can walk around strapped.
For those of you who don't know, in a lot of states, probably I think almost most of them, you need some sort of license to carry a weapon that's hidden.
Right.
So it's within your waistband, you can't see it. There's a lot of states. Arizona used to require a license for that, because if a cop pulled you over and you had a gun within your waistband hidden, and you weren't licensed for that, you would get... I think it's just a ticket. I think it's a misdemeanor or something. I don't know. It depended. I think you could get a warning. You didn't know, but at the end of the day, it was against the law.
Right.
Okay, so you want to own a gun, and we have decided to not tell each other how we felt on this, because I was like, maybe we have a different opinion on this. Wes.
Maybe it'll create some drama.
When we talk about carrying a weapon, if you're going to, are you team conceal or team open carry?
I think if you carry a weapon out in the open, you're the first person who's going to get shot if something goes down.
Damn it, Wes. Why do we always agree? I was really I was really hoping for some conflict in this one.
Oh, man.
No, I think, I'm not going to say that open carrying is stupid, because I don't think it's stupid. I get it.
Yeah.
With that said, I would never open carry, because you're doing is saying, hey, I'm your biggest threat.
Yeah. If you're going to shoot this place up, you're going to have to deal with me. That's what you're saying.
See, I'd even word it differently. Hey, if you're going to shoot this place up, start with me.
Yeah, or that.
That's because I remember when I used to work at Texas Roadhouse. I don't know why this was. Actually, I know exactly why. Why this was the place that like everyone had. There's always an old dude with like this freaking big ass 1911 on his hip,
and a revolver or something.
Not a lot of revolvers, frankly. But they were always it was always an oversized pistol.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there and I'm like, all right.
It's like, great.
Great. I see you.
Yeah.
And they're always like polished freaking steel looking, or maybe so. I don't fucking know.
It's like Clint Eastwood over here.
Yeah, exactly. It's like you freaking got like a light on your hip.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, if it's a fashion accessory, I think you're a dweeb, but also that's fine.
Yeah.
But if it's for a functional purpose, I think you're losing the point. With that said, I don't carry.
Yeah.
Because I told you before, if I think that I need to bring a weapon someplace, I don't go there.
Right.
And that is not a statement about whether or not you should be able to carry a weapon or a concealed carry a weapon, because like I said, we're not doing political statements. We're just saying, Arizona, you're allowed to.
Yeah.
So if you want to, you can.
Yeah.
I want to talk about the rules of weapon safety briefly before we get into what like carrying a weapon like actually means. It was funny. We looked these up.
Yeah.
Because I think we were arguing. We were like
on the semantics.
We were like semantically. We were like, well, no, it's this. And Wes pulled it up, and just our agreed on list of what we at least remember.
Okay, so treat every weapon as if it were loaded. Which I think is, you know, super important.
That's how you don't fucking blow a hole through your hand.
Exactly. Yeah. Just better to do that. Next is identify your target and before you fire and what's beyond it. which is also important because mm-hmm. bullets travel through things.
Yep.
They don't just stop like in the movies when you hit somebody or hit a
exactly. It's something. There's repercussions to firing your weapon. Go yes. figure.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. And then the next one is never point your weapon at anything you do not intend to destroy.
Which we'll talk about brandishing yes. a weapon and the legalities behind that in a moment.
Yes. And then the last one is keep the weapon on safe and your finger off the trigger until you intend to fire.
Which if you're part of the Glock gang like myself, you're like, what's a safety?
Yeah.
But for the rest of everyone else who lives in reality,
it's a redundancy step, but it's important.
Because, it is very important.
Yeah.
Because if go Google people who have shot themselves through their own holster exactly. or while they're, it's
it happens.
Guns are dangerous.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think I can make this clear enough. Guns are really dangerous.
Yeah.
Man,
it's a lot of ways to fuck it up. A lot of ways.
I move this one up too because I feel like I want to like talk about this before people start dropping off the podcast.
Yeah.
If you have a home defense weapon, you don't really have to think that much about it. You have it, you know where it's at. Keep it locked up so that children can't get it. Mm-hmm. I can't stress that enough. Please make yeah. sure your kids can't get it. I think there's a lot of people who
there's
think that's pretty
great flippant. Options, super simple options. There's fingerprint yeah. safes. Yep. There's fucking code safes. Then these things are like you can mount into your wall or your yeah. bed or you
it
know,
doesn't
closet.
Need to be
yeah.
Fort Knox. It just mm-hmm. needs to be a little bit.
Yeah.
And even like better yet, trying to store your ammunition like slightly separate. And I'm sure there's yeah. a lot of people right now who are going to say like, well, what if there's a home invader right now? It's like, yeah. okay, look, dude, like I hear you.
Yeah.
But like 99% of the time, I don't know, Lil Wayne shot himself. I don't know. Every year so there's funny. Kids that end up shooting themselves or a friend. And it's just like,
I'd say if you have kids, it's more likely that they would shoot themselves than someone would
and break into your house. Right. Yeah. And the things train on it. Slow, right. smooth is fast. Mm-hmm. If you can't open your safe fast enough for a home invader situation, figure it out. What yeah. do you got to do?
You got to figure something else out.
What do you got to do to make that faster?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's like a lot of people will sit there and do their holster draws like for an hour and have a great time. But it's like, okay, yeah. well, what about your stored weapon? How fast can you get that out?
If you're sleeping and you know someone breaks in the middle of the night in your underwear.
Shit, right
now. You're like, not going
to
draw it.
Let's not even have a gun involved. Let me break in your house while you're sleeping and see how freaking like, oh my God, I'm ready to engage. Like yeah. That takes a certain level of PTSD to be available that quickly. Wes would probably be ready.
I'll be ready.
I'm TTD. What is it? TTG. Train to go. TTG. Train to go.
I mean, shit, are we getting into choosing weapon for home defense?
No, real quick. Now? No, we're not going to talk about that yet. We're talking okay. about we're going to talk quickly about people carrying their weapon.
Okay.
And why I don't agree with it. Primarily, why I don't, okay, I'm not going to say I don't agree with it. Why I don't do it is because 99% of the time, there's no need to have a weapon or pull a weapon out. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people, when they want to get guns, this is what I'm worried about, is when you talk about someone tells you, like, hey, I'm thinking about getting a pistol. I think they're going to go out to dinner with their pistol. Yeah. And they're going to think that they're going to walk out of the bar and they're going to see some guy like beating up a girl mm-hmm. and they're going to pull out their gun, save the day.
Right.
But first of all, you're in Arizona. There's yes. like 30 to 50% chance that guy's also got a gun.
Right.
Whether or not it's on him, that's beside the point, but he might have yes. it. So first of all, he might know more about guns than you do.
Yeah.
And he might freaking, whew, bam.
He might have fire superiority.
Yeah. He's got you first. Then yeah. you actually mentioned something really great that I didn't even think of when we talked about this earlier. Some guy sees you pull a gun, and this is his report. I saw some guy arguing with his girlfriend, and some dude comes out of nowhere and pulls a gun on him. So I shot that dude because I thought he was going to shoot him.
Right.
Well, now everyone says that wasn't supposed to happen. I was supposed to save the day.
Yeah.
And also,
it's a very ridiculous situation.
Statistically speaking, people who have guns get shot more than people who don't have guns.
Right.
When it's weird to say, I know. It's like,
it's like if you play with fire, you're going to get burned.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah. People with guns, and if you pull a gun on them, they're going to use theirs now. Like it's an escalation of force. And we've decided to not talk too much about that because the military has a different way of looking at it.
Yeah.
But if I have a gun, I am hopefully, especially if I'm mm-hmm. mentally stable, that's not what I'm going to resort to. But the second you pull a gun out, if I've got one on mine, it's like, well, you broke spade. So, yeah, so spades like, are out. So I'm going to send mine too. Like, if that's where we've gone. You've taken it there.
Right. Exactly.
And that's just something you need to think about. And I would say the best way, if you want to be that guy who goes and carries a pistol responsibly, mm-hmm. there's courses.
Yeah.
And they're not the cheapest. Some of them are less expensive than others. But at any gun shop, you can find, I think, God, I want to say like $200 or $300.
Yeah.
But if you want to be a responsible gun toting American.
Or even like companies go around like state to state and jump around like Magpul, which is like a big, you know, I guess they have a lot of, you know, equipment company and like gun company. They have certification courses and like tactical.
Police stations will occasionally have walk-in things where you can come in and learn just to like kind of educate the community.
Or it's just like Krav Maga studios will give stuff like that too.
It's just the more educated you are, the safer you're going to be. And in the event, the 99.9 not going to happen event, because everyone thinks about that time, like I'm going to be the one to stop a school shooter. If that were to happen, you are going to be better equipped to handle it.
And not get yourself in legal trouble.
Or get yourself shot.
Right.
Because it's like, you know, if there's a school shooter and you pull a gun out, you run in there, I'm going to shoot the school shooter. It's like, now you're a dude with a gun in a school shooter situation. You're probably going to get shot.
Yeah.
I just can't stress enough, like, how much it's serious. Right. And I think that it's a right that we have, and I support that right. But it is such a serious thing that we need to, like, be considering. Yeah. With that said, we'll get out of the freaking jury dumpity dumps. Choosing a weapon.
Yeah.
We talked about this a little bit. And I don't think either of us are hunters. Have you hunted much?
I used to before I joined the Army, but then since I got back from active duty, I've yet to go hunting.
I would say, like, if you're trying to do hunting, there's, like, blogs. Shit, we're probably not here.
Yeah, we're not your best resource.
We're not your best resource, but the internet is going to help you out with that.
All I have to say on that is, like, since I was involved with long-range shooting for a little while, I think that you should get something that will have enough firepower to humanely end the creature. That's what I'd say. Like, but I don't think that it should be, you know, some semi-automatic silenced weapon with thermals.
Yeah,
using to hunt deer. You know, that's kind of ridiculous.
Operator shit is good for range time.
Yeah.
If you've got like some goofy, like, you know, SEAL Team 6 weapon, like for, and that's again, this still falls under weapons for sport, is if you just want to go to range and fire at those. Right. And there's so many resources there to learn things. There's ranges in Arizona you can go to and rent weapons. Like, oh, you want to fire a P90, but you don't want to pay for it?
Right. The Scottsdale Gun Club.
Yep.
Go there, fire a fully automatic P90.
It'll be fucking rad. You'll have a great time.
You'll shoot a 240 belt fed machine gun.
You'll pay for it.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, you're going to learn real quickly how expensive rounds are.
Yeah. 100 rounds went in about 5 seconds.
Yeah. And then someone's going to say, it's because the Chinese are building so many cars, there's not as many metals. It's like, wait, what? And there's always that guy. That's why I load my own rounds.
Yeah.
Guns explode in his hand.
Oh, man. that's a whole different topic.
So when you're choosing a weapon for sport.
Yeah.
It's like, again, we talk, it's a much easier decision. It's like, you know, what do you prefer? What's going to work the best? If you're talking about hunting, do your research. I can't, what the fuck is that guy who does the Meat Eater podcast?
I don't know.
He has a show called Meat Eater. I'm going to Google it real quick. But it's like individuals like that are people that you should be looking to for education. Like, just don't,
there's a guy on YouTube, Hickok49. He does like these pistol and rifle reviews.
Is he the old guy?
Yeah, he like shoots like,
oh, yeah,
he's wild.
I freaking love that guy.
Yeah, Hickok49 or something like that.
What the fuck is this guy's name? Steve something, maybe. Steve Ranella.
Yeah,
Steven Ranella. He has a lot of good information about hunting. It's not an easy thing to get into, but ranges are a good place to start if you want to kind of go into the sport of it.
Right.
As far as self-defense goes, this is always a funny question because I feel like a lot of people always go like, I'm going to get a shotgun.
Yeah. It's not the wrong answer, but it's maybe not the right answer.
It depends. Also, I feel like if you're really inexperienced.
Yeah.
Let me be clear. If you're going to buy a gun for... let me be clear. I did not. if you're going to get a self-defense weapon, go get range time. Go learn how to use your weapon.
You have to feel comfortable with it.
Have someone teach you, because this is like, if it's supposed to be for a survival thing, if you can't use it properly, then you're just going to potentially get like disarmed or hurt somebody else.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, you get a shotgun. It's like, okay, well, I got a bunch of bird shots. Like, if a worst case scenario, again, we're talking about the 0.01% chance some freaking guy on PCP breaks near your house. If you shoot him with birdshot, like, he can probably still go for you.
Yeah. What if you use buckshot?
he's on PCP, still 50-50, but your chances are better.
Yeah.
It's one of those things, like, knowing those things. It's like, oh, what does this mean?
Yeah.
I have a 9mm Glock.
Mm-hmm. Do you use hollow points?
I do have hollow points.
I think that's, if you live in an apartment, that you pretty much have no choice but to use hollow points.
I love that you mentioned that, because I feel like I have to defend myself with the hollow point argument sometimes. Yeah. I feel people are like, well, why wouldn't you use a full metal jacket? It's like, all right, let me, quick education, full metal jacket, Geneva Convention, we use those so that wound soldiers doesn't kill them. Hollow points are considered illegal in the Geneva Convention because they spread out and have more killing ability. However,
I don't want to shoot my neighbors.
Exactly. When you use a full metal jacket, especially with a higher caliber weapon, these houses in Arizona especially are built so cheaply that you could go through and through on a cookie cutter house.
Yeah.
With like a 9mm if you don't hit a stud or a piece of metal. It's like, and it's going to go through the entire house.
Mm-hmm.
However, with a hollow point, that thing hits like anything and it's going to be flat.
Right.
It's just safer. It's more, is it more effective when employed? Yes. Is it safer for everyone involved? Yes. Right. So it's the hollow point situation is, I see the argument that people make, but my argument is I'd like to get as few people involved as possible if that was to be the case.
I agree. And I think that the Geneva Conventions thing misrepresents.
It's a different conversation. Yeah. It's a different conversation.
Yeah.
I think there's some people who do the AR-15 home defense thing. I think if you, I don't agree with it. Yeah. Because I don't, okay. I keep saying I don't agree, I disagree. And it's like one of those things of like, it doesn't matter how I feel about anything, because it's your right to have that. But if you're someone who's looking for a defense weapon, especially if you're on a smaller property or an apartment, you probably don't need an AR for defense.
Yeah. I mean, I think you're right. I have a specific opinion on an AR, but that's more for like
politics.
It's more of like, politics.
Are you talking about like the Second Amendment, defend ourselves from the government?
Let me say that for the end when we go over, like, you know what? I'll say it right now. I think that for someone like you or me, who's a trained professional, I think an AR, to own an AR, like a good one, is almost like an honor and a responsibility. It's like,
I like that.
It's like the samurai in his, you know, katana, because it was like, that's a real weapon used for real war. And it's like someone at that level, you know, is capable and deserving of that.
I really like that concept of looking at a weapon as like an honor and a sign of like a respect for the weapon and a reverence.
Yes.
You ever seen The Mandalorian?
Yes. You know, it's kind of like that.
The weapons is my religion.
Yeah, this is my religion. But do I think like an AR is like, you know, necessary for, you know, an average person? I don't think so.
I think that they have the right to have it. I think they have the right to have it.
They have the right to have it.
Do I think you need it? Do I think that people need to have German Shepherds and Huskies and shit? No, because they don't run them enough.
Mm-hmm.
I think freaking having like a high energy, potentially aggressive dog is a freaking huge responsibility that people don't take well. Right. I think that's exactly how I feel about it. Like, do you think that you should have a race car? If you can afford it, that's your right. Are you putting like everyone at risk? You speed on the road?
Probably, yeah.
Yeah, it's just like, it's the same thing. It's like, you can, there are lots of things that you can be irresponsible with, and that's one of them.
Right.
And it's, at the end of the day, it's self-defense and all of that stuff. It's complicated, and it's your right, and it's just like my final statement on it is just please educate yourself and get trained, because not all of us grew up in the culture.
I agree.
I find guns boring. Because I had to freaking, I told you, like, I was like, my dad dragged me like out that. And like, all right, tell me what were the four rules of weapon safety. He's like, I never put a finger on the weapon loaded. He's like, hey, what was that? I didn't hear you. And I hated it. But I also am freaking got like astigmatism in my right eye and I can still freaking qualify.
Right. Yeah.
They're like, dude, you can't zero. I'm like, I'll figure it out. Don't worry. Like,
have you seen my score?
I'm like, literally, they're like, minimum. You keep shooting tight groups, but not in the same spot. It's like, it's because my eye is dumb. just put me out there. I'll adjust.
Yeah. That's funny. Yeah, man. I think that there's a purpose. Well, I don't know. I don't think that the AR is mandatory, but I think that it's... It doesn't have to be completely like non-existent.
What is your opinion on automatic weapons?
I think that they're less effective than semi-automatic weapons most of the time.
Exactly.
As far as lethality, yeah, and someone who knows what they're doing, I think that you can be better with a semi-automatic weapon than a fully automatic
Which
weapon.
Is so upsetting for those who watch too much television.
Right.
Because you know what a fully automatic weapon is good for? Suppressive fire. If you don't have enough ammunition to suppress, then you shouldn't do it.
I agree. And it's like, people think that, you know, everyone's just going to go full auto in a, you know, firefight in a scenario right there. And that's usually like one of the least effective things you could do. Automatic weapon in a firefight in combat in Afghanistan or Iraq or wherever is only good in certain scenarios. That's why they only have one person in an entire team who has an automatic weapon. Mm-hmm. There's like five people who have semi-automatic weapons and one person with an automatic weapon because you don't need everyone with, you know, it's not really like a super practical or effective or even reasonable weapon.
Well, you know, we're running out of time. We had a set time for this, and there's actually more we want to talk about this. Yeah. And actually, we'll have to pick this up again in a soon to talk because there's some things, you know, we want to talk about. You know, just the tactical stuff, the mall ninjas, the nerds with their guns. And we'll have like maybe a small segment about that in the near future.
Yeah.
If you find this kind of stuff interesting, please let us know. This is this kind of stuff. Like we enjoy talking about it. Wes and I don't like getting too political, just because like who gives a shit what we care about politics.
Right.
It's like, I'm not here to change your mind on anything. I'm just saying like, this is the situation. And if you can walk away with anything, just be safe, be educated, take it seriously. Like Wes said, like it's a warrior's tool.
Yeah.
It's something to treat with respect. It's something that, you know, you should look at and think like, am I worthy to have this?
Yeah. If you do, you should strive to set a good example and be responsible enough to, you know, be deserving of that.
Yep. It's not a fucking Game Boy. Can it be fun? Yes. Mm-hmm. Is it a toy? No.
Yeah, I agree. I think that, you know, if you choose to own and carry a weapon, you're basically taking on a social responsibility that you're going to be a good gun owner.
You are very correct.
Yeah.
I think that's going to be our closing statement on that, is that by getting a weapon, you are taking on a responsibility to be a responsible gun owner.
Mm-hmm. Hell yeah.
Please take that seriously. If you have any questions about this, please ask. We will answer them. This is something that I do feel strongly about. I'm not a big gun guy, but I am a big gun responsibility guy. Mm-hmm. And real quick, we are going to wrap up with Kendall's Corner.
Now we know.
And knowing is half the battle. G.I.
Joe. So our first question is, Wes, could you please tell us what you were currently doing to shred?
So basically what I did is I took my normal diet that I was on, which was about 2,700 calories, and it was like protein, carbs, and fat. You know, I had a good spread of all the macronutrients. My protein on this new diet stayed the same. My carbs dropped slightly, but I took a huge drop in my fat, which cut a significant amount of calories. So what that does is it makes it so I'm still fueling my workouts with carbs in the beginning of the day, but as the day goes on, I rely more on my own body fat for the rest of that caloric deficit as opposed to, you know, eating more of like the fatty foods.
We are officially entering the famine stage.
So I'm now in like, I'm feeling the deficit.
Okay.
So
I'm excited to see how tired and cranky we start getting.
You should ask Nicole this weekend. There's a couple times between that had a long gap between meals. I was feeling pretty grumpy. So
that'll be good. This is only going to get worse. Our next question is, what is a good full combo of supplements I can use to maximize my performance?
Yep. So I think that you should just stick with a few things. If you're focusing on performance, there's like too many supplements to try, more than you could take in a day.
Just the basics.
Yeah. So I think that you should have a protein source, you know, because it's hard to eat that many solid meals if you're trying to gain.
Mm-hmm.
I think that you should take like creatine. I think that's good.
Yep.
I think one of his questions already was asking about creatine when bulking. I think that's one of the best times to take it.
Mm-hmm.
You can take creatine around 5 grams like all year round.
Yeah.
As long as you stay hydrated and you're not
overdoing it. That's the big thing. Just stay hydrated.
Yes. Please continue to drink large amounts of water. So it's a good supplement just year round.
So you're saying protein, creatine.
And then I think some type of micronutrient base. Like
a one a day meds?
Multivitamin. It could be like, you know, like a certain
greens?
D complex, you know, A and D, or, you know, B complex or something micronutrient wise that you're, you know, getting those bases covered.
What a boring fucking answer to this question we have. You should eat protein, creatine, and take a multivitamin.
I mean, that is really what that is.
At the end of the day, if you're doing everything else right,
yeah,
that's right. That's the answer.
And like, I think the icing on the cake, those are the important parts. I think the icing on the cake is when you get to like pre-workouts, carb powders, and aminos.
It's all for fun.
Yeah.
It's all funsies.
Those aren't necessary or mandatory. I think a pre-workout is fun, especially if you, you know, are fatigued and need a little extra kick.
Mm-hmm.
I also think that carbs and aminos are really good during your workouts if you're bulking, because that gives you more to push with. But those can become detrimental if it makes you feel tired and slow.
Okay.
So there's a trade-off.
Next question.
Yeah.
Do you use junk food as your cheat meal? If you do, how do you not overuse them, and how do you space them out most effectively?
Yeah.
Well, I guess how do you space out your cheat meals?
I mean, I think the only thing you can really do is if you plan them out,
mm-hmm.
you know, so you like, not only do you plan out when your cheat meal is, but you plan out what your cheat meal is.
I plan mine for every day.
Every day, large pizza.
Every 3 hours.
Yeah. So it's like, what I'll do is, you know, I'll say like Saturday, I'm going to, you know, we're going to go to Oregano's and I'm going to, you know, eat a bunch of
pasta. I'm going to fuck the club up.
I'm going to go to Oregano's and, you know, get the whole 5-course.
Ooh.
Or something like that. So it's like you plan it out. So it's not like, you know, this weekend I'm going to have a cheat meal and it turns into a cheat weekend.
Yeah. So okay.
I think that's the best way.
So
to
you
do
set,
it.
Just set railings.
You set like a right and left limit.
That cheat meal, not cheat weekend, big fucking energy that I feel like a lot of.
Yeah, it's a big difference between,
Next question is, if you go on vacation and you're definitely not going to hit your caloric goal, I'm going to phrase it a little bit different. What percentage of those calories is good to maintain?
I would say you definitely need to stay protein focused as much as you can, because mm-hmm. that's obviously the hardest part. So try to eat protein multiple times in the day and include it with every meal. I would say fat is the easiest thing to overdo. So try and stick more to the proteins and carbs mm-hmm. in your meals. And if you are, you know, doing like a camping or like hiking or some type of activity trip, you're probably more active than you'd normally be. So it's like, you know, if you're feeling hungry or you're feeling like, you know, low energy, you probably need a little bit more calories.
Okay.
That's what I'd say.
All right. Is there any difference if I use creatine or not? And does it really help if I'm already hitting a caloric surplus?
I think it still helps. Some people who eat red meat very often may not need it or may be a non-responder to creatine, but there's still other benefits besides like the, you know, maximum strength benefit that it's supposed to give you for that extra rep or two. You know, like it's creatine is also supposed to help with your muscle hydration, which, you know, could be good because it adds a little bit more density and protectiveness to your muscles when you're pushing.
Mm-hmm.
And also it has been shown to help with reducing myostatin, which is a hormone that basically keeps your body from making more gains.
Okay.
So it helps to have your body in a state where it's more available for, you know, building gains.
Sweet.
Yeah. So,
and then there was a continuation to this question.
Yeah.
Is a lot of people blame expensive products for being low quality.
Yeah.
Do you have any brand suggestions? And I do believe that was in correspondence to the creatine.
Yeah. I think, you know, a lot of the, you know, Instagram influenced brands, those are a little bit more on the pricey side just because like of the audience they're selling to.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of those are also not very good because, you know, it's just like they're marketing it as some crazy form of creatine. Creatine is one of those supplements that it's like creatine monohydrate is literally the best shit out there.
Whichever one you can find that says that, 5 grams per serving, and it's the cheapest, you're probably good. Yeah.
Every fancy form of creatine basically accomplishes the exact same thing creatine monohydrate does, except for in a more expensive way. So it's like this is where people get their stuff mixed up with creatine. People used to take it at 30 grams a day and they used to get bloated and they used to have stomach issues because they're taking 30 grams in a day.
Mm-hmm.
Now science has shown that you don't have to take it at super high doses to load it anymore. You can take it at 5 grams a day. So when you do that, there's no bloating and there's no stomach issues. So
you're telling me that I don't need to wash, rinse, repeat with my shampoo anymore.
No, you don't.
Oh my God, I've been lied to.
So that's where all that comes from. It's all old news, old fake news.
Old fake news.
Yeah.
Well, on that, we do thank you guys for joining us. We do have to wrap up, unfortunately. We will pick up on these last couple topics that we're going to talk about, maybe a smaller segment in a nearby video podcast that we're doing. We always thank you guys. Please send in questions if you have any. If you like this type of content, let us know. You can find us at BNS_radio. You can find me on Instagram at Dimitri Sebastian.
And you can find me at WKendall_MFT or Wesley Kendall on Facebook. So check us out and give us some more questions to answer.